everybody, to another episode of the Brother Lemon Sports Happy Hour with your host, Chris.
And Jonathan.
Know what we talking about?
Yes, sir.
NBA playoffs.
Playoff time!
Somebody at the table is not happy right now after...
PO'd, to say the least. Yeah, I am hot right now.
Miami gets home court advantage back.
David Stern.
Three.
David Stern brings up a conspiracy theory that I created.
Here we go. Let's go.
First of all, as a Bulls fan, it's hard for me to do this. I'm going to head and give credit to the Miami Heat for winning game two and game three. Game two wasn't even really a game. It didn't even really seem like the Bulls came to play that day. They got mollywopped. They kept it close in the first half. But towards the end of the second quarter and the remainder of the game, it was all Miami Bulls. You could tell they were clearly frustrated. Noah gets ejected first, coming off the bench, yelling at the ref. Then Taj Gibson gets ejected for saying some words we can't say on the show to the ref. I mean, it got bad. I saw the replay for it. They basically bleeped out his mouth. Like, he was, yeah, I guess the stuff he, I didn't actually see what he said, but I guess it was not meant for TV.
Yeah, he got fined
$25,000. Which, yeah, that's a pretty big fine considering for just being ejected. But I'm glad he wasn't suspended, even though we did lose game three. Unfortunately, we kept it close. But let me just get this off my chest right now. I am a firm believer right now. David Stern has a conspiracy theory out there, and he has basically set it up for Miami to just coast through the playoffs and win the championship.
Okay.
Want to know how? Here's how.
Explain this.
Just look at the coincidence, okay? Derrick Rose, out for the season.
Okay? That's not his fault.
Not his fault.
Okay.
Mike Brown gets fired after five games. That was a whole nother problem. We got all these injuries throughout the season. Notice the one constant, though. Miami's pretty healthy throughout the whole season. Everybody else got some little nicks here and there. Miami seems to... D-Wade got hurt a little bit. But I'm talking about injuries. Terry's toll. Then we get to the playoff time. Spurs are coming in hurt. No, Tony Parker's coming off injury. Manu Ginobili's coming off injury. Bulls got nobody. Then we see Russell Westbrook go down. David Lee gets hurt. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, wait a minute, okay. This is David Stern's last year in the league. You got the most marketable team, won 27 games this year. It just seems to me all the chips, for whatever reason, are falling Miami's way. It just seems that way. Now you're playing a banged-up Bulls team that is going to give them the toughest series they're probably going to get in the playoffs. I have a feeling once they get past this series, if they get past this series with the Bulls, they're going to coast. The Bulls have given unless they play Indiana in the finals, they're coasting. They play New York, sweep.
Wow.
It's going to be ugly. I'm telling you that right now. Why? Because playing this series against the Bulls is toughening up Miami. You could just see on the floor. On the court, they have to be as tough as Chicago physically. They have to. That's the only way they're going to survive the series.
Yeah, that's why I said they would rather have played the Nets.
Of course, because they breezed through that series. We are giving them a challenge. And now we have opened Miami's eyes. Y'all ain't just waltzing through the playoffs against us, at least. We have the blueprint. We have the formula. But we got no Derrick Rose, we got no Luol Deng, we got no Kirk Heimer, we got no Rip Hamilton, so I'm just kind of like, oh, whatever. Give them a hell of a series, Chicago, and if we win, we win. If we don't, we don't. I am still proud of my team for the way we have strived and battled throughout this whole season without our number one dude. So,
yeah, y'all play well. I mean, you know, all that talking about D-Rose, just don't come back.
Yeah, don't
at
come
all.
Back, dude. Stay healthy.
You ain't come back.
Especially not now, man. I'm like, with the way the series is going, the physicality, I don't want Derrick Rose in that right now.
Yeah. We heard the argument about him. Well, maybe he can come and play 10, 15 minutes. I'm like, you really want your superstar is going to be okay playing 10, 15 minutes?
Like, seriously, yeah. You're going to take him out and he's going to be like, If you don't, I need to get back in.
Yeah, the fans don't want
rose. We don't want a taste of rose. We want the whole flower. We want the whole shebang a bang. Right. So that's you either give them to us the whole thing or don't give them to us at all.
Yeah, we had a disagreement because you felt that they hadn't really, you know, management hasn't quote unquote shut him down in the playoffs just to say that he might be able to pop up.
I felt they were using it more so as a strategical ploy for teams. Because if you say Derrick Rose ain't coming back whatsoever, teams now know we don't have to plan for him at all. That just kind of lessens the load for what we got to do. You don't say he's out for the playoffs. Now teams have to really think in the back of their mind, okay, could this be the game? Is he possibly coming back this game? I don't know. We have to use some time to strategize in the case he comes back. You have to.
Yeah,
he's just that good.
But this is part of that. The other problem is now you basically give everybody's like, well, he's been practicing. Why isn't he coming back? And I felt Barkley on that. It was like, don't leak it that he's practicing and he looks good.
Now, I understand the whole practice thing, but Colin Cowherd, I listened this morning, he made a very good point. How much do we actually know that he's practicing? Is he going 100% full speed? Is he doing just drills?
Right.
We don't know what he's doing, and that is what kind of ticks me off the most about the people's comments and criticisms. None of y'all have actually seen him practice or play or anything, so you have no clue what he's doing. It's a question mark. We don't know what he's doing. All we know is he's been medically cleared. All that means is you're healed. That doesn't mean you're over the mental hurdle.
Right.
And in my opinion, all that means is you're medically cleared to play. That means you can go out and play. That does not still mean you are 100%.
No, it's just medically cleared.
Medically cleared
medically
means
cleared.
You are healthy enough to play basketball. That does not mean he is 100% healthy. There's a difference.
Yeah, it's just the fact that you got a Bulls team that's gutting it out. I'm sorry. And I hate to hear all this stuff with Luau Deng losing weight. Because that just sounds like, oh, he's not going to make it back.
And the whole spinal tap and meningitis. And, you know, Kirk Heinrichs had a calf injury that's been nagging him. I mean, it's everything. Yeah. And I appreciate the Bulls players standing behind him.
Oh, no, that's,
because
that's great.
Because you got players who easily could have been like, oh, yeah, we're down, we're struggling, he needs to play. But these guys are, you know, they know how valuable he is to the team. They see what he's doing in practice. They see it, which is why I believe them when they say, yeah, we're behind him. When he's ready, he'll come back. Fine, I'm taking their word. I'm not taking Joe Schmo's word just because he's a fan and wants to see him play badly. No, if he's ready, he's ready. If he don't come back for the playoffs, fine. All that means is once next season comes, he'll be 2,000% healthy, and we won't even have to worry about this. Honestly, come next season, nobody's going to even talk about this anymore. Nobody's going to talk about this anymore. If Derrick Rose comes out, puts up 20-some odd points a game, 8 assists, nobody's going to care anymore.
I expect him to come back.
To come back full force. He missed a year. He is pissed. And I'm telling you, sitting on that bench, watching his team battle is, to me, really motivating him and even making it more clear to him. The crap your brother was saying is BS. We got scrubs. Yeah, your scrubs is giving Miami a hell of a series.
Mm-hmm.
So
your scrubs want a playoff.
Exactly. Here. So if we got scrubs, tell me what the Clippers are. Tell me what the Lakers are. If we got scrubs and we went in with third string players, tell me what everybody else is who lost in the first round is. Thank you.
Hey, what you think of that? Because I saw what that chick giving Noah the middle finger.
You know what? Like, it's part of the game. And I felt Noah. This is why I love Joakim Noah. He came out after the game and said he's not going to let it affect him. He's been dealing with it since high school.
Yeah, if you're a ball player.
You go to the opposing team's court, of course fans are going to chastise you. They're going to give you the finger. They're going to talk crap about your mama. They're going to say anything they can do to help the team get in your head. That's what their goal is.
Yeah, that's just, you know what, we both fans. That's just stupid to me. Because then it's like your daughter's going to be like, mommy, what were you doing giving that dude to me? Oh, I'm embarrassed. Now, you wasn't embarrassed when you did it.
Exactly.
And you didn't do it like, hey, Joakim Noah, you suck. You went right up to him walking by.
And gave him
my
finger
in your face.
Right on camera. And that's all right.
Because
that's fine.
If he smacked his hand, you'd have been like, you done touched the white woman's hand.
Yep. It's all good. It's all good. All I can say is Miami, don't let us come back to Miami 2-2.
You know this thing changes all the time. I mean, I heard it with my team. You know, granted, I will give some of that. Like, Golden State has been playing better for most of the games. We came out flat in the first half.
Yeah, no question.
But it's not, you know, we go ebb and flow. If Spurs win tonight, which I hope they do, all of a sudden, Spurs look like they're going to pull it out.
Look, I've said from the beginning, I think this series is going to seven. Everybody needs to hold their horses and stop. I understand Golden State is new. They're fresh, you know.
They're exciting.
They're exciting. You know, they're hitting threes from 50 feet away. I get it. But the Spurs are the epitome of consistency. They're a team that constantly, game in, game out, you know exactly what you're getting from the Spurs. You know what Parker's giving you. You know what Ginobili's giving you. You know what Duncan's giving you. You know what the role players are giving you. They are consistent, and they are experienced. And I think that is what a lot of people kind of disregard throughout this series. The Spurs are the most experienced team left in the playoffs. So these close games, these close tight games where it's coming down to the wire, look at game one. Look at the body language of the Spurs. Look at the body language of the Warriors. You see a complete difference. The Warriors were a little bit in a frantic. See, the Spurs, they're calm, they're poised, they're collective. They've been here before, so they know what to expect. So when, you know, you have big moments, it's 95-96 with, you know, 30 seconds left, the Spurs know what to do. They know how to execute. They've been through this.
Right, it's just making shots, and they haven't been making
shots. Yeah, they've just been off.
I mean, you know, game two, I mean, Klay Thompson was like, hey,
bananas.
I'm real.
I mean, you got a backcourt of two very good former NBA players. You got Michael Thompson, former number one pick overall, played for the Lakers, played for the Trailblazers, and you got Dale Curry, one of the best 3-point shooters to ever. One of the most underrated 3-point shooters to ever play the game, because he really didn't get the pub I think he should have got. But there you go. Yeah. I mean, they have the pedigree. They looks like they got the drive. You know, they have the potential to be the best backcourt in the league. They might already be the best backcourt in the league.
Everybody,
you could argue that.
They're the best shooting.
Oh, yeah, they're the best shooting tandem backcourt in the league.
Yeah.
Bar none.
They're talking about ever. When the ever,
I'm like not going to go down. Ever. People, y'all got to stop with this early stuff.
With Steph Curry. Steph Curry's the best shooter ever. Like,
oh, he's better than Larry Bird. Really?
He better than Ray Allen, Reggie Miller?
Didn't Ray Allen just pass Reggie Miller for the most threes in the playoffs? Like, what? Come on now. I get that Steph Curry.
Steph Curry is nice.
He's a very good shooter. He's a very good player.
And the fact that he can shoot off the dribble too is fantastic. Mix his game up. I mean, he's going to be dangerous.
He's going to be a superstar.
But you weren't saying that last year. It's like, well, now that he's healthy. Like,
now
okay.
That he's healthy, there's the key. He had ankle injuries. And I also think a big key for him was Mark Jackson. Mm-hmm. Getting Mark Jackson in there, basically a Hall of Fame point guard. I mean, I think he really, really did some nice things with Stephen Curry, teaching him the little nuances that you have to deal with in the NBA. And I think you've seen the improvements. Steph Curry went from, you know, he gradually, if you watch the season, he inchly just gradually improved throughout the season. Think he got snubbed as far as not making the All-Star team.
It's just guard him.
But
he ain't getting over Tony Parker. Sorry.
He making it next year. I can tell you that. He'll be there next year. Don't worry about it. If he ain't voted in by the fans, he'll be voted in by the coaches. Believe it. So.
Yeah. He might get in, though.
But I still see the Spurs pulling this out. You know, I like the direction Golden State's going. They just don't have the experience yet.
No. But
and experience will take over. And as we've always seen, most of the time, experience prevails. Once you're experienced, you've been there, you've done that, you know what to expect. So you're not really, you know, you're not tripping. You're not worried. You're not stressing over anything. You got a young team. Let's see what happens if they get down, you know, 3-1.
Right.
You know, in that situation.
If they get down
2-1, they might start panicking a little bit. You know, so we don't know. Right. But that's where the Spurs, you see, if the Spurs lose tonight, Spurs are not going to trip. It's like, all right, we lost tonight, fine. Go about our business. Go back to the board. Come back next game and do what we got to do.
So stealing the game.
You got to see. Well, it'll be interesting to see.
Quick projections for tomorrow's game, since we got the those are going to games three. With the Knicks going to Indiana.
Indiana's winning.
All right.
Indiana's going to win that game. They'll be in Indiana first game. I know the crowd's going to be pumped. Mm-hmm. And I think Indiana's going to bounce back. They had a boo-boo game the last game in New York. So they know they got to come out firing. So I think they'll be fine. As far as the OKC Memphis, oof. I don't know, man.
I think Memphis is going to win. I got Memphis winning the series.
I
got
to get this one to OKC. I think it's gonna go back and forth. You know, you win one, you lose one, you win one, you lose one. I just really think that's how it's gonna kind of go. You know, Kevin Durant made the big shot in game one. Game two, Memphis came out. Mike Conley was a beast, most underrated point guard in the game. And then you got Mark Gasol, Zach Randolph. Kurt argued, you know, your best center power forward combo in the league. You know, you could argue that. Mm-hmm. You know, so they have a nice core of players, but God, it's gonna be a battle. This is another series. It's gonna be a true battle.
That's a great series.
Oh yeah, that's a great series.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
It does kind of suck. Russell Westbrook isn't in this series.
Yeah.
He'd make a huge difference for OKC, but
you know, he's pressing through. You know, he's in the box watching the game.
Watching the game.
You know, maybe this will help him out. Maybe this will make him pass more.
Exactly. You know, you see guys like Reggie Jackson hitting big shots. Kevin Durant is doing Kevin Durant.
And this may help, actually. This might, you know, getting Reggie Jackson minutes might actually help in a long run.
Mm-hmm.
So you can spell
Westbrook for a while.
Move him over to the two.
There you go.
So, can't wait for those.
Mm-mm.
And let's go around the NBA real quick. All the awards are passed out.
Mm-hmm.
George Karl, guy coach, LeBron MVP.
Of course.
Paul George, most improved. J.R. Smith,
definitely.
Sixth man.
And
Jerry from Denver got GM. Do you have any issues with any of those?
The only one I have a problem with, and it's not even the fact that he won, is the coach of the year. The only thing that ticked me off is how Tom Thibodeau, out of everything the Bulls went through this season, didn't get one vote for Coach of the Year. To me, that's just flat-out disrespectful. Seriously, not one vote. He loses his star player for the year. We're banged up all season, and we still get the fifth seed and win the first series. And he gets no love for Coach of the Year just because George Karl won with basically the same team we got. No superstar.
Almost the same team you got.
Basically the same team. They're defensive minded. They can put up points. But it's all good. That's my only real objection. You know, LeBron, of course, was going to win the MVP.
Yeah, we knew that.
LeBron's going to win the MVP for the next 7-8 years, you know, straight.
Yeah, I think I was shocked when
LeBron will crush the record for most MVPs won.
I'm going to get on that in a second. I just want to I was surprised when Denver won the GM. I was actually shocked at that. You know, yeah, like George Karl winning coach. I mean, he deserves it, and everybody's like, I can't understand how he didn't get coach of the year. I'm like, Jerry Sloan didn't get coach of the year.
He got coach of the year, and they talking about firing him. What?
Well, that might halt everything.
What?
But he might get a leash on that.
Has that ever happened? A coach won coach of the year, and then you fired immediately?
No, but usually the next year. Happened to Mike Brown. Happened to Sam Mitchell. Sometimes that's uh-oh.
So I don't want that award, man. Not yet. Now I'm glad Tom Thibodeau didn't get it.
But yeah, with this whole LeBron winning, how do we define MVP? Because everybody's like, I don't like the whole fact that he could have won five straight because he didn't get. I'm like, look, Derrick Rose deserved it because Derrick Rose made a huge jump from the second to third year. Everybody was like, oh, he can't hit a jump shot.
He can't shoot. And what did he do? He's splashing threes.
Yeah, all of a sudden he came back with a three, led his team to the best record in the league. Y'all just got it this year, Miami, finally. So,
Thank you.
Looks into Miami. LeBron came back.
Thank you.
Got a little more of a post-up game.
Mm-hmm. He earned it.
Yeah, and this year he was just efficient.
He earned it. I mean, gee whiz.
Yeah, now I'm not that dude who's like, automatically the best player in the league gets the MVPs. Because that means it'd probably be only like,
it'd be LeBron for the next 8 years.
One guy would get it every decade.
You could say Jordan could have won it every friggin' year if he wanted to.
Like, well, my own guy. I'm like, dude, if LeBron James put up less numbers than this next season, I can't be like, oh, we should get MVP. Why?
Exactly.
He just set the bar, and now he can't even make that bar anymore.
Exactly. Exactly.
So no, he ain't getting it. I was like, it depends on your improvement of the team, your value. You know, I understand. Well, the guy picked Carmelo. That was funny. It was a Boston guy, too, picking Carmelo Anthony. I'm surprised that. I was actually shocked, like, damn, Carmelo Anthony got the one? Like, Kevin Durant didn't get a first place vote?
Of course not. Tony he didn't Parker get enough shots.
Oh, no, he was, but he proving it now.
Mm-hmm. Give him more shots, Russell.
You watching. But, yeah, I hope he don't win all MVP. But you, I was gonna say,
he's
what,
going to.
You know, when I saw the title, I was like, guess what? I was like, if we ran a poll right now and asked everybody, to all them dudes who have four plus MVPs, where will LeBron be ranked? And I bet most people will be number two. You're like, he better than Kareem and Wilt and Russell. I'm like, get the hell out of here with that. You know, he close to mine. I was like, oh, God.
Of course he is.
I knew that's what people.
Let's,
I was
let's let him finish
that.
His career up. I mean, you can't.
Yeah, because
first
to me,
of all, let's be honest, dude.
He's
when
fifth
it,
on that list.
When it comes.
He's fifth.
Bill Russell has 11 rings. Do y'all. 11.
And play when they didn't count block.
He got more rings than fingers. I mean, what more you want him to do? He got a ring for damn near every year he was in the league.
Yeah, he was, you know, basically.
Made he was a man among boys.
Two. You know, the captain is just, well, the damn captain.
And then Kareem, come on, man. Kareem, really?
Kareem, Wilt Chamberlain, I mean, beast.
He ain't getting past MJ. Ain't no way he's getting past MJ.
No, MJ is just MJ. So.
And let's stop the comparisons, please. How about LeBron is just LeBron? LeBron's his own physical specimen. There has never been. Michael Jordan was not 6'9", 280 pounds. Yeah. Michael Jordan was 6'6", 220. Yeah. Okay, you cannot compare. It's like comparing a banana to an apple. You can't do that.
That's what I say. He's a mix of Magic and Jordan.
Yes.
I'm like, that's a good comparison.
Yes. But I'm not going to see it. He ain't the next company. He is the next LeBron. That is what he is. He is LeBron James. He will go down as one of the greatest soon. Let's wait a second and let him finish off his career or at least get to the tail end of it, please.
Yeah, at least give
him
the next four or five. Let's see
just
what happens.
Give him some time.
Let's see what happens when his contract's up next season.
Thank you.
Or he can opt out and we'll see what happens.
Exactly.
Let's see if they're going to win.
Thank you.
Spurs going to win number five. Let's see what else. Brandon Roy got cut by Timberwolves.
It's unfortunate. I feel bad for Brandon. You know, he worked really hard to get back from them knee injuries. Fortunately, when it almost seems like when those knee injuries hit, that's it. For a lot of guys, when you're bone on bone, that's it. It happened to Terrell Davis in Denver. He was done. Brandon Roy, done. You know, and the microfracture surgery too, got kind of guys. They seemed like once you have that, that's kind of it. You look at Amari; he's supposed to play a little bit next game. You know, Greg Oden hasn't come back in the league in years. It's unfortunate. I feel bad for Brandon. I hope he at this point. I just wish him the best for the future. You know, I hope he gets another shot in the league. He was one of the better players in the league when he was, you know, playing for Portland.
Yeah, he was like a top three shooting guard.
He was awesome. You know, it's unfortunate to see somebody's career end shortly, you know, especially somebody like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wish him the best. If you ever want to come back for 10 minutes a game, brother, Bulls got a spot for you right on the bench.
Nah, he might be. That might be
that it. Might be it, yeah.
But unfortunately. He got money, so he ain't worried.
Hope you saved it.
You're right. The Seattle group is seriously trying to bring the Kings to.
You can't blame them. I mean, the Kings are garbage, and Seattle wants a team.
And they bumped it up to $625 million. Let's see, like,
let's just call it $1 billion. Let's just break $1 billion. Forget it. I'll give you $1 billion for the Kings, and if they don't take it, I don't know what to tell you.
We ain't doing anywhere much.
David Stern would have been like, you take that deal now.
Yeah, but all that, like, we want to really keep it inside. I was like, oof.
They want a team in Seattle, and I can't blame them. I mean, you look at Seattle, they got the Seahawks. You know, you have the Seahawks and the Sonics, you know, back in the day. And, you know, it was great. The city of Seattle was great, you know. You had the Rain Man. You had the Glove.
Oh, no, they got a...
You know, it was great, you know, and...
With Lenny Wilkins.
Yeah, they got some history. And, you know, Kevin Durant played there a couple years, and they moved down to OKC.
That wasn't right.
You know, it wasn't cool the way that happened. I think Seattle's just trying to, you know, pay back the respect. They want a team back. And they deserve one.
They putting the money up to it.
They deserve one. Yeah. And you know what? Guaranteed they'll make that money back quick.
All they got to do is put it on the table, and they're like, all right, well, we'll see what happens. Y'all don't want to
sell out every game.
Yeah, they will.
Every game, even though they're whack, we'll sell out every game. What you going to do? Take the money and run. Maloof Brothers, take the money and run.
You know they want
I'm a Kings fan, but take that money and run. Bye-bye, Kings.
This story was just funny to me. With the whole Kobe's mom going to auction off his stuff.
That just seems odd and...
You know, basically saying...
Why? Is she broke?
No, it sounds like she wants some money for a house. Kobe's only giving her so much money. He's not.
What do you mean he's only... Okay, let's take this into consideration. Kobe's only giving her so much money. Kobe has how much? Millions upon millions. How much is he actually get? What is he giving her? $20,000? That's not enough, Mom?
No, he's giving her like a... She just wants like more.
This is what I mean. Like, good Lord, man. Stop being greedy. This is ridiculous. This is what happens with families when you come up on money. It's like, all right, I came up on $100 million. You know, Mom, I'm going to break you off $3-4 mil, you know. I'm going to break off something to my family, you know, cousin. I give you $200,000, you know, do what you... And then here it comes. Oh, I need more. Why? Because you bought something that you couldn't afford. So now I got to pay for it. Or, excuse me, you expect me to pay for it. I'm one of those cats, look. And I would say this to my family straight up. If I made it in the NBA or the NFL, whatever, and I sign a contract and get $100 million, I will say, look, I'm giving you $2 million. That's it. Don't come to me for no more money. There is no way you should even blow through that in the next 3-4 years. Seriously.
You more generous than me. I'd be like, all right, what you got? How about this? All your debt, I'm taking care of.
There you go, or something along those lines.
I pay all your bills, and now you're starting fresh. So if you rack them bills back up again.
That is your fault.
And like, I'm $69 in debt. I'm like, dude, I got you to zero. Now you, that's your fault.
I got your credit score back up.
Right, now you jacked it up.
And you messed it up, that's your fault.
Yeah, this situation, like, if it's hard. Now, if his mom really was like, look, I want to sell, what do you want me to do with this stuff? Because I might sell this. I don't think she said. I think she was like, what you want to do with all this? And he was like, oh, okay, you can have it. Not knowing. I was like, oh, you going to sell this shit? Hold up. Yeah. You're selling my high school stuff.
Yeah, right.
Heck no. Because, I mean, our mom has stuff. Our mom has our old-ass toys that she kept.
That are worth money.
Yeah, and I would be real pissed if she was just ended up like.
Hey, I sold them.
I sold you
Excuse
stuff.
Me? You sold my Ninja Turtle figures? Right. You must be crazy.
My He-Man, my Star Wars.
You must have lost your mind.
You know, she asked me what I want to do with it, and I tell her, you can have it, do what you want with it, then I can't be mad. You know, but if I say, hey, don't sell it, can I keep it here? And fool's like, why you still got stuff at your parents' house? I'm like, because I ain't got room in my house. Because she ain't.
Dang.
Because she ain't say, get your shit
out of my house. Yeah, that's his mom. So what? All y'all move out the house and just completely clean out all y'all crap. Yeah. I want my baby pictures. I want my birth certificate. I want everything you got. Yeah. No. When you move out, you keep half your crap.
Seventh grade uniform.
I want all my yearbooks from elementary school. Like, what? No. You leave that crap at home, especially memorabilia. Your mom has it. She's had it since high school. She's had it since you were a kid. Yeah, it's there.
Right.
But... Your parents should have a little bit more respect, especially if you're grown. If you're a grown man,
if you a dude who've been giving them cash,
I've been feeding y'all forever. Have the decency to ask them, look, or just be honest with them. I need a little bit more money, so I've been considering selling your stuff. And if he says, whoa, don't sell it, I will just break you off some money. Problem solved. Yeah. But now we got this. I'm auctioning off. Excuse me. And I know Kobe's pissed. You ain't touching a damn thing that belongs to me.
Yeah, I know his ass is.
Heck no. That's the one time I'll agree with Kobe. You don't touch my stuff.
Yeah, that's just how we are.
Heck no.
We're going to come back, talk some more NBA. We're going to talk about these losers all the teams who have gone 50 so far, how they summer outlook is looking.
Ah, pina coladas on the beach.
Yeah.
Loving it.
To the brothers, lame sports happy hour. Holla. Got a lot of bling when he do the thing, bada boom, bada bing. From the womb to the tomb, get that ricotta, bada bing, bada boom. Doom, your reputation precedes you. Wait till you crack and see what we do, you dweeb you. No pun intended, takes one to know and we'll know. It's unscented. Yo, son, to mention when I'm said it from the other time. Before everybody and they mother rhyme. What a crime, beats is the same way. Make them wanna hit the streets with heat for a lame's pay. Game day, flag on the play and proper helmet. Drag on the sway from the gem dropper, well spit. He didn't listen, titty kissing, the city glisten. Depending on from what position you're sitting in the pissy wind, it's this thin whistling. Who let the spinning whisper engine in? The villain again, without a doubt. That's his name, don't play it out or spray it when you say it out your mouth. Then gave him a cold shoulder for an hour and told him take a gold shower for faking funk soul power. Stocky, short and cocky, looked like Apollo Creed after he fought with Rocky. Rhymed in the broken English slang, not cockney. 13, his first queen walked hot knocking. Had to tell her pops, yo, stop cock blocking, B. Hold something for your daily A habit and go bada bing 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 like Ricochet Rabbit. How about the sicko say stab it? It's liquor in the cabinet and a slicker for the crab pit. And Heineken, I told him much obliged, friend. What I gotta spend if I only touch her thighs then? Why his eyes widened? He didn't know your man had a nice surprise hiding. Took pride in riding in a sly wise guy grin. Real recognize real. On the microphone, the wheels are mechanized still. Please, at least respect your ideals. How you gotta walking along the stroll in high heels? He said her mama was getting old. God bless her poor soul. Now no more drama, it's your role. Straight to the head. He know a lot of haters can't wait till he dead. Led to go like a hoe to a strange whack housewife. Only thing he know would change his back though. How trife. Rules is rules, don't go there. Stay on sale like an old coat made of mohair. Keep a snotty chicken on E, the Lone Ranger. Why everybody always picking on danger? And doom, maybe it's him. Called up my lady, told her baby it's slim. Make me up a margarita, I need to take a swim. Tell them kids remember school, if they let them out, cool. But get the hell from out the pool. Welcome back, everybody, to the Brother Lemon Sports Happy Hour. Y'all got any questions or comments? Want to brag about your team, stand up for them? Or y'all just got any questions you want us to answer on the show, please hit us up. You can email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, @brotherslayman, or call the Happy Hour Hotline, 323-455-4219. And, of course, you can always leave a message on the website, blackisonline.com.
Hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns, anything y'all want to know? You know, football season's coming up in a few months. If you want to get your fantasy team rosters prepared for that draft, hit us up. Let us know. I know everybody who to pick. So you might want to holler at me. So hit us up.
Hey, man. Well, of course, you know when the playoffs start, that means
somebody got to lose.
Yep. And some folks are going to get the pink slip.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Dunlap was there for 1 year with the Bobcats. Gone. They just
That was the stupidest hire. What y'all just that they're at a point now they're almost year to year with a coach. Like Paul Silas was decent,
was great, was good for them,
and then it was like, oh, we had a bad season, oh, we letting you go. Well, y'all suck, give me some better talent to work with.
Yeah.
And then you bring in Dunlap for what? You set him up for failure, basically. Like, what? Hey, go after Stan Van or something. Go after a name coach, a coach who you have seen improve teams, and actually try to improve your team. Jordan is like the worst owner. Good Lord, like he is bad. Everybody want to talk about Jerry Reinsdorf and Donald Sterling. Jordan's terrible.
Yeah, his
garbage.
His track record for being upstairs is
God.
Not at all.
Gerald, what didn't he the one who passed on
He passed on Brooke Lopez.
For who?
DJ Augustine.
Oh my God, who is now a bench player.
When they needed a center, Brooke Lopez.
It was gift wrap for them. Yeah. Oh no, we're taking DJ. We're taking the point guard. OK. Okay.
It took
now we have a DJ. We have a point guard. Oh, let's take Kemba Walker. Yeah. What?
Although Kemba Walker has balled well.
And then they hooked my team up. We'll give you take Tyrus Thomas and give him all that money. I mean, come on. And now
he passed up on Brandon Roy. Even when he came out and thought and made mad compliments about Brandon Roy, how he was going to be a solid player and could just start in the NBA, and you take Adam Morrison.
Out of the league.
No, yeah, Sean May.
Out of the league.
Raymond Felton didn't keep him.
Now he's with New York in the playoffs. Good Lord. I mean, gee whiz. The best player he might have ever picked is Gerald Henderson. That's it.
Yeah.
Dang.
I mean, Kemba Walker was solid, but, you know, you just got to build. I mean, Kid Gilchrist, we don't know.
How many number one picks can you have, man? Like, sign some veterans. Oh, nobody wants to come there.
Nah, they just need to get young players, get a young coach who you can build with.
Y'all need to blueprint the Bulls, folks. Blueprint them. That whole time when they was going through the whole little spiel, signing the Ron Mercers and... God, that was bad. Brent Berry was... Oh, jeez, our team was terrible. And then you slowly added pieces. They had a solid core until Jerry Krause screwed it up. We had Brad Miller, Elm Brand, Ron Artest. Very formidable front line. You got to draft correctly, though. Jordan, get some better scouts. Because, God, they are doing you a disservice. My goodness.
Yeah, at this point, if you don't get the number one pick, trade down and get some old picks.
Thank you. Or just trade it for somebody. If they don't want to sign with you, fine. Trade for them so they can't leave. Something.
Well, the interim coaches, Jim Boland ain't getting brought back by the Bucks.
Not surprising. He was butting heads with Brandon Jennings, who they really want to come back. So, of course, we got to let the coach go.
Oh, yeah, and J.J. Redick sounds like he's gone.
He's done. He don't want to go back there. Go to Chicago.
Come to go
Chicago.
Yeah, he could. P.J.R. Kalissimo ain't gonna be back, but he knew that.
I feel bad for him. That was so shady. Avery Johnson started off okay, started off hot, and then just fizzed out. And it was just like, okay, he's gone. P.J. Kalissimo comes in, turns this team around, gets him the fourth seed, and what does he get for it? Bye. Like, that's not even cool.
He basically was like, unless I win a championship, I'm not coming back. Which was cold-blooded. But we knew that was happening. We knew when he got the job, they weren't going to bring him back.
Oh, yeah. You know what? He'll get a gig somewhere. He's a good coach. I think he's a good coach. He had the whole spiel with Sprewell, with the choking and all that. But, I mean, in all honesty, when it comes down to the X's and O's, he's a good coach.
Yeah, I think he'll probably land as
a good coach.
He's going to be an assistant somewhere. It didn't work out with OKC, which hurt.
Yeah.
And then this thing with the Nets.
Mo Cheeks is another one. He deserves a job, too.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
And then Byron Scott out there, and they rehired Mike Brown.
There you go, Charlotte. Hire P.J. Kalissimo.
Mike Brown, I mean...
That was awesome. I was very happy for Mike Brown. I was happy for Mike Brown. I applaud him for that one. That was cool. Get to go back to Cleveland. You know, guys.
Get an apology from the owner. Was like, I'm sorry. It was just we were trying to keep LeBron.
Yeah.
And we had to fire you.
And the fans, I'm sure the fans will welcome him back with open arms. He was a good coach for them. He was a really good coach.
Oh, they got a young, solid team. Good defensive coach.
Better than Mike D'Antoni with the Lakers, isn't he? Wow. Nah, that's for another day.
We won't know about that.
It's for another day.
Yeah, he said, he has his family's in Cleveland. So, no, good for him. He bounced back. I'm sure the Lakers are happy they don't have to pay him any more money. But we'll see what they're going to do with their next coach.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Flip Saunders replaces David Kahn.
About time! God, he is the worst. All I got to say is Ty Lawson, Johnny Flynn, Ricky Rubio. One draft. The stupidest draft I've ever seen. I thought Jerry Krause was bad. Oh, but when you pick one position for every pick.
In the first round, really?
You are like the topper, dude. You're the topper. Ricky Rubio's coming off ACL injury. Johnny Flynn don't exist anymore. And you traded away the best one of the bunch.
Yeah.
Who's now an all-star. Thanks, dude. And they still got point guard problems. So, I mean, ain't nothing's been solved.
No.
You pick three point guards and you still haven't solved your point guard issues.
No, it's Ricky Rubio. He just got to stay healthy.
That's a big if.
And if they were healthy, they'd be in the playoffs.
Yeah, all that talk about Derrick Rose with the ACL injury, how'd Ricky Rubio look when he came back? Yeah. Rusty. Thank you.
I know the Hawks looking at Stan Van Gundy. I actually think Stan Van Gundy.
That would be a great pickup for them.
I think he should go to the Clippers. Either him or I think Jerry
Smith. Honestly, really, I would like for him to go to a team. Honestly, I would like to see him on a rebuilding team because I think he can turn them around like a Charlotte Bobcats with a little bit of help.
Better that,
but yeah, with Atlanta, but like a Milwaukee, yeah. I think he'd be good for a team like that that is almost there. But needs that extra motivation, a little bit better coaching.
You know,
he can provide that.
Got some good, you know. You got Lou Williams, Al Horford is solid,
big time solid. Heck yeah, he's solid.
Yeah. We were just talking to him. Let's get into the gone fishing squads.
Real men.
Since we started with the Clippers, I mean, I'm sure we know that Del Negro was gone.
Yep, he's fired. Yeah. I said it. I said, if they lose, if they don't make it at least past where they made it last year, he was gone.
Oh, yeah.
They lost first round. He was really gone. Yeah. That was it.
And they were asking about the situation. I'm like, why do these, well, I know they have to do that.
That's their job.
He was like, so what do you think your future's going to be? Like, dude, I just lost 5 minutes ago, and now you want to ask me what am I? I'm not thinking about tomorrow. I'm thinking about how pissed I am tonight.
That's their job. Their job is to. Like other people, they're just to push buttons and try to get under your skin a little bit. They want you to say something. We want you to say something. Do you think you're going to win tomorrow? No, I think we're going to lose. I really want somebody to say that. Really, they just be like, "Hey, Joakim Noah, you guys think you're going to beat Miami tomorrow? Nope, no chance." Just keep it pushing. I would love that. Love it because you give a stupid question, I'm gonna give you a stupid answer.
Yeah, they
seriously.
I mean, the Clippers, they got to figure out if they can get something for Eric Bledsoe.
They got to figure out the Chris Paul situation. That's numero uno.
I think he's staying. I mean, it would
only make sense. I don't really see where else he would go.
He fits with the team
very much so.
You know, he's playing in the LA market. He's revived the Clippers, so it's not like you got that Clipper mystique of, oh, this team sucks.
I just think with the Clippers, they're a little bit too finesse for me. Mm-hmm. That with the whole Lob City and everything, that's all well and good. You got to be a little bit more physical, though, a little bit tougher.
That's why I like Jerry Sloan, who at least, you know, gives them a better
offense.
He'd be
offense. A very good coach for
he
them.
He can make them, you know, better offensively.
I heard him with Brooklyn. I guess Darren Williams missing him. Oh, Lord, Lordy, Lord.
Man, the Nets. I mean, the Clippers, you need more from. Blake Griffin just needs to keep improving. DeAndre Jordan looked like he was improving and then just fell the hell off. There is no way you're playing the Grizzlies and you ain't really making an impact. I'm like, dude, their team is made for you to get a shitload of minutes. And you are totally ineffective. Work on either get you a 10-foot jumper, some post move, but you need – dude, I'm trying to think who's worse. I mean – can you be better than get Dwight Howard level offensively?
He isn't Dwight Howard level.
That isn't a lot. That isn't much.
He isn't Dwight Howard level. Neither one of them got a post-up game, so it don't matter. Dunks. That's it. And neither one can make free throws. They epitomize each other. They are copycats.
And the other hallway team, yep, the other big free agent who, you know, you think he's going to stay? Our first
No. I don't.
Oh, wow.
I do not. I've said from Jump Street, I think he's going to Dallas, and I'm sticking with it. I think he's going to Dallas. I'll put it this way. He's going to Texas. Dallas or Houston, one of the two. That's where he will be. Mm. I mean, you look.
He got exposed.
Why would he stay? If I'm Dwight Howard, why would I stay? Because, oh, yeah, you can offer me more money, but at what point, I love this. We're all supposed to be about the team, team this and team that. But, oh, nobody's that stupid to leave $20 million on the table. Why not? Why can't one guy just say, you know what? I don't like the direction y'all going in. Yes, you can offer me the most money. Let me go somewhere where there's a little bit more potential to get a ring. Go to Houston. I know they have a Sheik, but you team up with James Harden? Man, what? Or go to Dallas. To me, that would be perfect for him. You got Dirk Nowitzki, who doesn't clog the lane, so the lane would all be all his. He can hit the three, so that's going to bring cats out, okay? Dirk's also on the tail end of his career, which means in the next 2 years when he's gone, the team is yours. You are the guy.
But he's in the same situation in L.A. Look,
no,
if he leaves L.A.
No, he ain't.
If he leaves the Lakers, then it's like, then he's carrying that mystique of, I'm not happy here, so I just leave, because you just did that in Orlando. He did do that in Orlando.
For me, Dwight's screwed either way. No, Dwight is screwed either way. He stays. He's going to get chastised. If we don't win a ring, you're whack. You suck. You're going to be talked about all day, every day by Laker fans. But if you leave, oh, he's a punk. He didn't have the Laker in him. Knew he wasn't Laker material. He can't win. No, he can't win with whatever decision.
I don't know who he need to go with.
He needs a new PR rep. That's what he needs.
Maybe Hakeem ain't the guy. But I'll just get a big man to just give you two moves, because you...
My thing is, I don't understand. You're playing for the Lakers. There's only one freaking person you should be going to. And his name is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's the only person you need that should be teaching you anything. Shouldn't have to go to Hakeem. Dude. You play for the Lakers. Kareem should be teaching you like he taught Bynum, even though Bynum didn't want to listen, which I heard is part of the problem with Dwight. He don't want to learn.
And the other problem is, I'm like, not even you got Kareem. You probably have one of the most gifted offensive big men on your team. You can't learn nothing from Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol got like 12 moves.
Of course. It was a bad fit. It was a bad season for the Lakers.
Yeah.
Firing Mike Brown was the mistake that started it all. I get the slow start. But folks, he coached 5 regular season games.
Right.
With a whole new squad, with a whole new offense. I have to have, like, at least give me, like, 25, 30 games so I can at least try to incorporate what I'm... What are they going to learn in 5 games? And then they pulled the ultimate move when the Lakers were playing at their best. When Bernie Bickerstaff was interim coach. Oh, let's just pull the rug right under him. Mike D'Antoni. And what happens? Downhill.
Yeah. Was he having 3 games in? I'm benching Pau Gasol.
Like what?
Because I don't like big
Bernie Bickerstaff. They went like 3-1 under him. That was the best they ever played all season.
And they let all them go. They got rid of all his
And that's fine. You're gonna bring back Cass next year and be even more weak.
You're gonna bring back a defensive coach so he can't use them. No, I don't believe
it. Go ahead and fire him, please. Why are we wasting time? Why are we gonna waste another season? Just fire him. Why? So fans can sit here and ridicule him all season. Like, I got to hear all summer.
Fans are going to be talking about Phil Jackson the whole damn time. It's going to be Phil, until Phil is like, I'm not coaching anymore.
Until Phil signs with Toronto, right, which is where I think he's going.
Yeah, get you a GM job. You know, you'll get your chance.
Exactly.
Kobe Bryant's not going to get amnesty. Lakers are not that stupid. You know,
I mean,
2014.
I can understand the thought. I get the thought.
Yes, as an owner and GM,
I understand.
You have to consider it.
You have to. But yeah. Looking at the PR hits you're going to take, looking at everything involved,
yeah,
nah.
And he's got 1 year left. Now, if he had like 3.
That's a different story.
Yeah, and he got the ACL.
Once we out of the playoffs, Boozer's getting amnestied. Mark it down.
Okay. The Lakers got some work to do.
They got a lot of work to do. They have a lot of work to do. They barely squeaked in the playoffs.
Sorry, Kobe. The team is not coming back intact. I think Dwight Howard's coming back. I think Pau Gasol's traded before the season starts.
I think Dwight's leaving. I think they keep Pau and Nash.
Well, they can't trade Nash.
Nobody want Nash anyway. But I think Dwight leaves, and I think they keep Pau, and I think he will play the center position. I think they finally look for a stretch for it. I think this offseason is going to be one of those seasons where it's like, all right, D'Antoni, we're going to bring in your kind of guys. Do something. And if nothing happens, then he's gone. That's it. Okay. He fired.
Yeah, we gonna have to. We got a long joint coming up with the Lakers.
Yes, sir.
We mentioned Houston Rockets.
They're up and coming. They're up and coming. You can see the potential they have.
Beverly's gonna challenge Lynn for that starting point guard.
Yes,
spot.
Yes, he is. And Sheik's a little better than most people thought he was.
He wouldn't get no. That's why I'm like, they don't need Dwight Howard. I'm like, he does everything defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to give me the same thing he does offensively.
Nothing.
Hitting free throws.
Yeah. That's one thing you could say. He is
but, yeah, I think they might look at Josh Smith maybe. But, you know, Chandler Parsons really has proven himself. And, you know, it's just, hey, you just started, made it to the first round.
Exactly.
Kevin McHale did a good job.
Baby steps.
And he was getting all that hate last year going into, why are you hiring Kevin McHale? He did a great job.
It was more so his lineup changes, I think, that had a lot of people in arms. Because he was never consistent with the lineup changes. You'd be like, oh, he balled today, but he's benched tomorrow. Like, what? For what? But it seems like he got a little bit down. He's learned from last year. I know he went through a whole spill with his family, had some family issues this year. But I think he learned. I think he learned from last year. You saw the progress they made this year. And they'll progress more next year. You know, James Harden was a nice get for them. They have their superstar now. They have their star player.
Yeah, he's Donald's.
Now it's just fitting the pieces around
him. He's not a superstar yet. He's close.
He ain't a superstar. He's a star. You know, not a superstar.
No. He's a star. I want to see if he can really hold down that number one mm-hmm. mantle. But good for them.
Yeah, good deal.
You know, Nuggets, you know, they coaching GM got awards, but they
smacked in the first round. Ooh,
that's what you wanted, the number three spot, home court.
You got the altitude advantage in Denver, and that ain't mean nothing.
And David Lee go down.
But this is Gallinari
mean that much?
This is why it is hard to win without a star. It's hard. It's really hard. So, I mean, you look at them, they're a team that are full of really, really good players.
Although Ty Lawson.
Ty Lawson's on the verge of superstardom.
Yeah.
But everybody else is on the verge of, you know, they have really, really good players. So, we'll see what happens.
And then we got those fishing on the East Coast. And we know about the Bucks. Coach gone. Monta Ellis might be gone.
Brandon is gone.
Might be gone.
Possibly gone.
J.J. Redick ain't coming back.
Gone.
And you heard about that crap of Larry Sanders and supposedly, I guess, during one of the locker rooms, Larry Sanders was basically like calling people out like, we need to play as a team and stop, you know, worrying about the summertime. Let's get focused, you know, basically. And Monta Ellis was basically like, oh, you talking to me? You calling me out? Like, oh, they had to be separated. So it's.
You know what? Good for Larry Sanders. I'm glad somebody stepped up in that locker room and said, look, we got to play as a team and get our ish together. So if Monta Ellis want to take it like that, that shows you the immaturity that Monta Ellis has.
Yeah.
Larry Sanders, come on down to Chicago, sir. We got a spot for you, too. Oh, my goodness. See, these are the type of players that will fit in well with Chicago. I love it.
Yeah, I know but, you do, yeah. Milwaukee.
Hey, man, Milwaukee, they got a couple nice pieces. Larry Sanders is a nice piece. John Henson is another nice young building block for them. They need a wing player. Ilyasova is good, but they need, like, a serious stretch. They need a two guard. A good one. And a tall one, not 6'1" and 6'1". Like, that is not going to work.
No, I don't know what they're going to do. It's like ever since that whole run with George Karl and Ray Allen, they just been butt. And they keep they at the bottom.
They keep taking steps backwards instead of forwards.
So I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, we'll see. They'll figure it out soon enough,
the Hawks
hopefully.
Are looking at Stan Van Gundy, pretty much. They not paying Josh Smith max dollars. I don't blame
Heck
them.
No.
He might be traded or he's gone, but, you know, they built the right way. You got some solid pieces. You got cap room. Too bad you don't have a strong fan base.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a big city. They need to, hey, just get the number one pick. Oh, I forgot they're in the playoffs, so they can't. But, you know, they in a good spot at least.
They have some quality pieces on their team, but I don't know. It's something about their team. Even when I lived in Atlanta, nobody talked about the Hawks. Nobody cared. It was all Falcons, baby. Falcons is Falcons. Hawks. Who cares about the Hawks? Yeah. Like, they didn't even exist. Damn. And it was just...
It shows in that game.
Yeah, it shows. The fans don't go to the games. Going to a Hawks game is just kind of like one of those things like, oh, I got nothing to do tonight. I guess I'll go to a Hawks game. Like, that pretty much sums it up how
that's
it is.
Cold, man.
That's how it is, though. It's like, oh, yeah, Falcons, baby. Michael Falcon, Vic. Falcons. Hawks, yeah. Hawks or whatever.
They need some excitement back in the
building. Yeah, they need some excitement back in the building. Josh Smith is good. I mean, once they traded Joe Johnson and, you know, it was kind of...
Yeah, I mean, they still fought. I mean, I give them that.
Oh, yeah. And now they'll have some cap room.
Yeah. I don't know if Larry Jewell will be back.
I don't think so.
But, you know, he'll land somewhere.
Assistant coach.
Charlotte. Y'all call
everybody. God, yeah, call everybody, please.
Brooklyn actually had a good first year in Brooklyn.
They had a solid year. They got a lot of talent on that team.
Clearly, you ain't better than the Knicks. So
clearly, you ain't better than the Bulls. I mean, you got some work to do, but they have the talent. You know, Darren Williams didn't have his best season.
No, he started turning around. He can just stay healthy.
Gerald Wallace is he has his moments.
Yeah, but he's
not what he was, but he's still a physical player. He's still a very good defender. Brook Lopez has come into star status. He has proven worthy of that contract they signed him to.
He's trying to make the All-Star team.
Hey, he's playing. If he can board better, he'd be great. Yeah. And then you look at a guy like Reggie Evans. Took Chris Humphreys' time. He is one of those guys, yo, dirty player. He is the guy that every team needs.
He is missed in Clipperland.
Oh, yeah, big time. He can rebound with the best of them. Yeah, he can't hit a shoot. He can't shoot a free throw with the lick, but he will give you D. He will give you rebounding and toughness. Yeah. And like I said, that's something every single team needs.
Yes, sir.
And then you look at Joe Johnson. Didn't have the season I thought he was going to have. Yeah, I thought he would be shooting much better. He was terrible. And it didn't help. He got plantar fasciitis. Coming like, I want to say game 2 or 3. And that was it for him. Yeah. He wasn't the same guy. He wasn't hitting. His defense was horrible after the injury.
Paying all that money to a number two.
So he's a guy who's definitely going to have a target on his back as somebody who definitely has to step it up next year. He has to play well next year. Has to.
Yeah, they tried to look at ass Phil, and he was like, no, thank
you. Nope. Plus, they got Billy King just signed a new extension. You don't need
they
Phil.
They wanted him as a coach.
Yeah. Jerry Sloan. Jerry Sloan.
He ain't coming back. He might. Oh, he might, but we'll see. But, I mean, you know, hey, good first year for y'all. And we'll see how the rest of the future go. But they, you know, at least got a good start.
Very good start.
High expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And Boston Celtics. I hate seeing them lose.
You know what? Rondo went through the same thing Derrick Rose went through towards ACL, so.
I mean, that was that hit. It was like, well, there it goes.
There it is.
But they played with that fire.
They still played hard. I mean, I know there's been a lot of talk, especially around the L.A., that there could be a Blake Griffin for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett sprinkling Doc Rivers. I'm like, look, that's not going to happen.
Why?
Danny Ainge is going to keep everybody, at least for one more year.
Yeah, stop crapping on him like that. I'm like, all them crap with the endorsements and shit with Magic. All like, he deserves it. I'm like, it's not his fault. It's, what you going to say? No, I don't want to do endorsements. I want to wait 5 years while I prove myself, and then I'll get into it. Hell no.
Give me that money.
They see you a showman. You, food is L.A. I'm going to get rid of the guy who sells tickets.
Exactly.
For some older players, the hell, no, man, that's stupid. You want Doc Rivers? Yes.
Oh yeah, definitely want Doc Rivers.
But you want Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce next to Blake Griffin. You don't want just to get him up.
Mm-mm.
If I'm Boston and you offer me that, I might be like,
give it to him.
Yeah, I take it.
Ching a ching ching, toss in Eric Bledsoe. Right.
Give the brother a chance to improve. Shit.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, Jeff Green. Nice. Looking real good off of that injury.
Nice piece.
You know, Avery Bradley had, you know, shown some spurts. He can be solid.
Rondo will be back.
Mm-hmm. So they build.
They'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. You know, they'll have some cap room. I don't think they should cut Pierce. I think, you know, they'll take a break. I think they'll give it a run. They need some more size up front to help KG. He can't play the center all the damn time.
Nah, they need a true center.
Yeah, figure out what you're going to do with all them shooting guards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Trey Courtley Knee, Trey Jason, whatever you're going to do.
Trey Jason Terry.
Trey Jordan Crawford, something. You know, but Celtics are, you know, they, of course, they're going to be at the bottom of the East. Well, yeah. At least playoff team-wise.
Yeah. But and they're an older team.
Right.
They're going to start, they got to start looking towards the future.
But I mean, to get a healthy Rondo with a Jeff Green, Avery Bradley, that might be nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, buddy. We're going to come back and wrap up. You're listening to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Holla!
Gets anything she wants off that dollar menu. Yeah, you know the venue. Shh, let me continue. There ain't no need that you got, girl, that I won't attend to. Extra napkins got you. Extra ketchup got you. Couple roll of extra ice. I thought I said I got you. The mother girls gotta wait, but baby, not you. Need some extra cash? Go ask my mom to spot you. Whatever you want, get it.
Trot around the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
With them Jets.
You know, J-E-T-S.
Yeah, we got to catch up. I mean,
they had a lot going on, boy.
Darrelle Revis out. Traded to the Bucks.
They're done. Jets are done. God, you traded your best player.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, Tampa Bay is going to be looking good next year.
Didn't want to pay him. And, of course, they cut the circus known as Tim Tebow.
I feel bad for him. I feel bad for him. They sabotaged his career.
Yeah, they sold him some.
They sabotaged his whole career. New York Jets. I don't want to hear nothing about the Denver Broncos. If anything, we brought him up. And then the Jets killed him, so whatever.
Yeah, and I heard he was, you know, everybody was like, go to CFL, and then Warren Moon came out and was like, he ain't going to make it in the CFL. Because the CFL, you got to throw.
Yeah, you throw it more than the NFL. So I'm like, yeah, it wouldn't really make any sense for him. Yeah, Tim Tebow is going to have to, if he wants to play football, he's going to have to be realistic and switch positions. That is the only way Tim Tebow is going to stay in the NFL. If you want him to be a backup quarterback.
Well, to me, it's not even. Well, part of it is the offense.
It's almost like he can't be a backup quarterback. Well,
to me, I think he can be a backup quarterback if he didn't come with all that baggage. And by baggage, it's not him. It's
you have to declare him a backup from Jump Street. You can't sit here and even open the door to even think he might be able to compete for the starting job. Like, had he stayed in Denver and they still were Ryan Peyton, it's Peyton, homie. You are not playing at all.
You know they would have brought all that crap, but it's just – it's his circus, man. It's why a lot of teams don't even want him, because they're like, then I have to deal with him overshadowing every damn body on the team.
And then you got Jacksonville fans. You got one fans who are coming out putting up. They got a petition going. They want to send it to President Obama and basically have him force Jacksonville to sign Tim Tebow. Like, what? Nice. And then you have the other side of the fan base in Jacksonville who is starting I forget what it's called, but it's basically like a We Don't Want Tim Tebow website. And they are getting hits. Man. So, I mean, the GM has come out on like 3-4 different occasions and has said, we are not signing him. Let it go. Yeah, like, I get here, that he's from here. So we don't want him.
Just because he's from here don't
mean
I need
unfortunately
to sign him.
For Tim Tebow, the fact that they have Blaine Gabbert and don't want you speaks volumes.
Yeah.
It truly does speak volumes. And, you know, so I feel bad for him. But like I said, you know, I would love to see Tim Tebow, you know, go to another place, but he brings too much of a circus, and the only way he's really going to get a shot in the NFL is he's going to have to change positions. Yeah. Tight end,
yeah. Now you can
H-back,
yeah,
whatever.
You can be another position and still like, oh, well, we need a quick, you know, let's put Tim Tebow in for like a pass play.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's going to have to work on something. And it's not hating. Jeez, y'all.
Yeah, I'm not. I love Tim Tebow. I love him as a person. He can't throw the freaking ball. He can't. Yeah, he is not a consistent thrower.
That's
he's not.
Thing. And when people say throwing the ball, it's a consistent
throw. Yeah, it ain't just he like, yeah, I can throw a pass and I can throw a pass and complete it. Like, hey, that's nothing. It's consistency. That's the key. And he's not consistent.
Yeah, plus he got a little Justin Blackman. Well, he wouldn't, Justin Blackman. What is up with this fool?
He has, yeah. First, it was the DUIs before he came into the league. Then they put language in his contract for this exact situation. So now he's losing money because he got busted. So I don't know, man. Like,
yeah, he got 4 games for substance abuse. Oh,
snorting cocaine, dude. Like, what are you doing? What? Why? I don't get it.
Because you had to do, what's his name, with the honey badger, who was like, I can't.
He was a cokehead.
Smoking them tweeds.
Smoking them tweeds. So tweeds, man. But you know what? He seems like he's got his head on straight a little bit. We need to be careful. He's in Arizona, so he's a little close to the West Coast. So I'm a little worried on that front. Yeah, but he's with Patrick Peterson, a guy who mentored him when he went through the whole motions last year, being kicked off LSU. So I think he's in the right spot for him. You're with the guy who mentored him, former teammate, you know, who can take you under his wing and say, you know what, dude, look, this is how we're supposed to do things. This is how we do things. And lead him on the right path. He's been clean. Apparently he got tested like 25 times during the draft and passed them all. So he's clean. And if he can be clean, he might be a hell of a steal. So
speaking of the draft, since I know you were a draft guy.
Yes, sir. Mel Kiper, Todd McShay got nothing on me.
Okay. Any good, bad, any thoughts on the draft that you like, you know?
The good? You know what? Minnesota came up. Sharif Floyd was a guy who a lot of people had going in the top three, dropped all the way down to 20 in the 20s. I don't know how that happened. They scooped him up quick, came back, drafted Xavier Rhodes from Florida State, cornerback. Nice size, nice pickup. Another guy who was thought to go in the top 15. And then they traded for Cordarrelle Patterson. Another guy expected to go in the top 20 and be the first receiver off the board. So, all in all, they had a very good first round. I like what they did. As far as the bad, it's got to be Geno Smith. Geno Smith, first of all, this is a guy who I don't know where these reports are coming from. Everybody has called him from, like, being cocky. He don't care. He don't work hard. And then it comes out that I guess he thinks he knows everything. And then it comes out today that he's giving himself an F for his play in the mini camp. It's like, dude, what? What? And then you see him looking pitiful during the draft because he didn't get picked in the first round. And it was just like, oh, my God.
You are going to look pitiful.
He needs to grow up. He needs to grow up. And the fact that he went to the New York Jets, to me, that's almost a death sentence for him. That is the one place he shouldn't have gone. The guy who started off hot, was a Heisman Trophy favorite, and then once the competition started to get a little tougher, seemed like he started to fizzle out a little bit. So as a guy who did that in a weak quarterback draft, you couldn't even make it the first round, that speaks volumes about what these teams think about you. And at first, when the first report came out, the guy from, I think it was Pro Football Weekly or whatever website it was, and basically crapped on him. I felt bad for Geno at first. I'm like, dude, leave him alone. But then once you have report after report after report coming out that is negative, at some point I'm going to have to say, okay, all these fools ain't just getting this information from nowhere. Somebody's telling them this stuff. So, ergo, you know, you might need to check yourself, dude, especially playing in with the New York media. Because don't come out and be whack. You saw what happened to Mark Sanchez last year with the butt fumble and all that. He is a human highlight reel now.
You already got Santonio Holmes like, oh, Mark Sanchez is the starting quarterback and should be. I'm like, dude.
Here we go.
Why don't you act like a starting wide receiver?
Here we go. All I can say is be prepared because Mark Sanchez is going to be whack. And the minute he is, Rex Ryan, you better pull him. You better pull him. Yeah. You didn't pull him last year. You better for damn sure pull him this year.
You want your job.
Exactly. Well, his job, he's a great defensive coach. Oh, you traded your best defensive player. I see them 4-12 easy. I'm serious. They're dysfunctional. I don't know what's going on with them.
Hey, all this hoopla once again about the Washington Redskins and should they change their name?
No.
And Dan Snyder already was like, we ain't changing nothing.
No. Look, I get the whole Redskin thing, but my thing is before you jump to conclusions, you got to do your research. From what I have known, have heard, have, you know, skimmed over or whatever, the term Redskin, I want to say it wasn't necessarily being used as a derogatory term. That is almost like that was the term not necessarily used to describe the Indians, but they, you know, their skin was a little, you know, not red-ish, but, you know, you kind of understand where I'm coming from with this. So, for that reason, no, you shouldn't change it. Because if you change the Redskin name, the Chiefs should have to change their name as well.
Yeah, and all at once, yeah, once that, and all of them
going to all of them going to change their names. Yeah. So,
I don't like the image on that you're using.
Patriots? I don't like Patriots.
Yep, I don't like the Florida State Seminoles, all this.
All that. It's going to have to go. So leave it as it is. Yeah. It's historic. When you think of the Redskins, you don't think of racism. You think of Washington Redskins, football.
Yeah.
So, no, I agree with Daniel Snyder. Leave it alone.
Yeah, they're not going to change it. Here's a question. I don't think the protest is big enough. You know, and it's, like I said, they got history. They've been playing for it for so long, they're not going to change it.
Ain't no point.
They have to be forced to change it.
Exactly.
Which I don't think.
And I don't think Roger Goodell's going there.
No. I know you saw. Yeah, I didn't pay money. I know you saw the Mayweather.
The debacle,
fight.
The absolute beatdown. That wasn't a boxing match. That was. I don't know what that was. That was embarrassing. That's like watching an 18-year-old beat up his 6-year-old brother. Like that, it was sad. It was sad. Like, I'm sitting here watching him. I'm like, okay. You just see Floyd is 3 times as fast as he is. Dude couldn't hit him. The minute Floyd smacks him and he tries to counterpunch, Floyd ducks. And you're just like, what? Really? You're the guy who was supposed to give him a challenge, who was pumped up to be like, yeah, I can beat Floyd and blah, blah, blah. I see why Floyd didn't say anything. He didn't have to talk smack. Because he smacked you. Floyd probably won, in my opinion, Floyd won 10 out of the 12 rounds. Like, he kicked his ass. It wasn't even close. He got him in the ring. Guerrero got him in the ring, in the corner of the ring, constantly. And Floyd made one simple move, one move this way, one move that way. I'm out of the corner. What? It was embarrassing. It's like Rocky versus Ace Ventura. Like, it was bad. It was bad. It was really, really bad.
For Mike Tyson, that first dude was a soda boy. It's like, it's soda Popinski and all this. It's just.
It was sad. And now they're talking about he's supposed to fight some junior middleweight dude. Like, look, Floyd, can you what? Stop. Stop. Thank you. Just retire with your unblemished record, please.
We know you're going to retire undefeated. Your window to fight Pacquiao is now
gone. It's closed. Pacquiao is fighting somebody else now, some weak guy.
Well, of course. And then once Pacquiao got beat and everybody has that image of him laying face first on the ground, it's like it taints it now.
Yeah, it really does.
But people will still like to see y'all fight.
Heck yeah.
But you're not, so.
Yeah, don't even worry about it.
In the last topic, I'm surprised how we skipped it, but we didn't talk about it.
Let us know your thoughts, too.
Yeah. You know, we got to speak on Jason Collins being the first active, basically Big Four sports player to come out.
I take the word active very lightly in this because he's in the tail end of his career. This ain't a 27-year-old kid in his prime. This is like a 35-year-old dude who's probably retiring the next year or two. So the whole active, yes, he is an active player, but let's not kid ourselves. This ain't like, first of all, all right, let me start over. I give him all the credit for coming out. I do. I give Jason Collins all the credit for coming out. But noticed how quickly it came. It kind of got big for a second and then it just disappeared. Nobody's talking about it anymore. Why? Because he isn't the most nation-known player. He's not a nationwide known player. For NBA fans, yes, we know who Jason Collins is. Mm-hmm. For the average Joe who knows who LeBron is, who knows who Kobe is, he doesn't know who the hell Jason Collins is. So in his mind, who cares? He came out of the closet, so what? He's a nobody. It's not going to really make the impact we all think it will until it's a star or until you have multiple. If it was Jason Collins and, you know, another guy or, you know, two other dudes, that's a different story. Now you got 3 active dudes coming out, that's different. But when you have this one guy at the tail end of his career who basically is really an unknown player, it's not going to make the same impact. Yeah, it's just not going to have the impact.
He's going to open the door for that.
No, he definitely opened the door. And that's why he gets all the love for that.
I was shocked because it was all them reports of all these. We're going to have as many as 4 NFL guys come out. And what happens?
They ain't come out yet.
Nope.
So hopefully this will open the door for them and they can come out. But it seems like it's a little harder in football, though.
Football is going to be
tough.
Yeah. The NBA is, you know, guys are pretty much open to it.
And I actually mentioned this to my wife. How, let's hypothetically, let's say you got this star player, let's say he's 28 years old, comes out and he's gay. Mm-hmm. With the whole situation that we have where, this has just been a tradition in sports for as long as I can remember, guy does a good job, give him a little slap on the ass. How would you take it if your gay teammate does that to you? Are you kind of like, dude, Or is it just, you know, that's your teammate, it is what it is.
If he's been doing it and it's just that's, and if he's been doing it, I don't care. But it would be weird if, like, you ain't never done it, and then after it comes out, then you start doing it. But, yeah. I mean, they're going to, you know, media's going to put a microscope on all
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was brave. I know people going back and forth calling him a hero. It's a different time, man. I remember when you know, when Martina Navratilova came out, mm-hmm. and granted that wasn't like, you know, football, baseball, and all that, but that was like a big ass deal. It was like, because she was like a
she was a star. And it was, she like, was a star, whoa. And she was pretty. Yeah, dudes was on her like, she's what? Ah. Oh. But I mean, yeah, like you said, it's a different time today.
You know, it's one thing. It's the civil right that people are fighting for right now. Mm-hmm. He is just the latest one to come out, and you know, the more well known people come out, the easier it will.
It'll be for the the man, for the others. You know, and you know, it, we're, you know, we're, and
if it helps out, you know, young homosexuals to feel, you know, that I can bring,
you can be
up,
you,
right?
Just be yourself,
and that's the big thing that we care about. It's like, oh, you know, I'm glad you want, you are finally going to be yourself.
Exactly.
And you know, he said his brother told his twin. His twin was, you know, of course, immediately shocked, and then was like, "You my brother?
You my brother? Ain't changed nothing." Right. And that's how it's supposed to be. We live in an age now. Gay is everywhere. Let's just be honest. It's on TV all the time now. You know, I remember, back in, you know, when I was in elementary school, it was like, gay was one of those, when you really use gay as kind of like, to insult somebody. Mm-hmm. Man, you gay. And Cass would be like, what? What'd you call me? Now, you have the whole situation where it's like, you have people speaking on the whole using gay as a, that kind of term to diss people and this and that. And you see it's getting slowly kind of died down. We live in a society now, there are gay people all over the place. 90% of the people here have a gay family member. Just deal with it. Just accept it.
Right.
They're all over the place now. They have run out of the closet. They are here. They ain't going nowhere. So let's deal with it.
It ain't like they hollering at you.
They ain't hollering at you. They don't want you.
It ain't no disease. It ain't spreading.
Yeah, like
change folk.
Exactly.
You know, if you don't agree with it, fine. I wasn't fully mad at, you know, Chris Broussard because he lumped it in with every other sin.
And people were mad at him.
I don't know if he's.
People were mad at him.
I don't know if he's married or not because some, you know, he's like, oh, so now you in sports. So what, you wasn't getting down before you were married? Are you married? Because if you're not married, then it's like, oh, well, you a virgin.
See,
you know,
he has his beliefs.
Right, but he didn't go full on like, I don't like him. He was like, I don't agree, and just based on my religion.
Based on religion, not based on my personal feelings or thoughts. It's not just like, yeah, I just don't like him because he's gay. Religiously, it's unacceptable where I come from. That's all he said.
Right. Now the challenge.
And he compared it to having sex before marriage. It's the same thing in his book. It ain't like one's worse than the other. They're the same. They're equal. They're both sins. Right. So
it's just
all y'all sinners out there.
Right.
All y'all fornicators.
All it is about is just being okay with somebody's opinion and just living with that.
Like, exactly.
You know, for the gay community, if somebody says I don't agree with it, because you can't just be like, oh, well, you hating. Like, I have a right.
I have a right.
Exactly. It means I can't enjoy a damn cup of coffee with your ass.
Exactly.
People who are like, oh, don't get close to me. You're going to infect me.
And yeah, Stephen A. Smith said he's been cool with the, I guess there's a gay writer for Sports Illustrated. They're friends. They talk. You know, they have disagreements.
Yeah, they said,
but they're fine. It's not like they have beef. It's not like Chris Broussard's like, oh, you're gay. Make sure you stay and you sit over there and I'm over here. No, it's not like that.
Ain't none of that going on. And, you know, gay folk can't be mad at Christian and just be like, if you don't agree, then it's hate. And at the same time, the Christians can't do that because I'm like, well, you say it's a sin, but your God was kicking it with sinners.
Thank you.
So it's like, well, he's the sin. So now they can't worship with you at all.
Exactly. It's a topic that's going to be heated and it's going to be debated for years and years and years.
States.
Now they can get married. So. Yeah. They have rights too, folks. Let's just deal with it.
Right. It's another civil right. You know, people always trying to move forward. Let's move forward.
Look, we all had to go through it, you know.
Look, just
you
respect.
You had Jews going through situations with the Holocaust. You know, you had slavery with African Americans. You know, You have gays now. Every single group had someone fighting for their rights.
Right. And that's all it is.
That's all they're doing is just fighting for their right to be free.
It's not a comparison.
No, not at all.
They're not trying to put it on. It's like nothing compares to somebody getting used as cattle.
Yeah, as a piece of meat.
Or just being killed because you're black.
Yeah. Or having your own, you got your own bathroom, right. Colored only.
Right.
It ain't the same thing.
We're trying to eradicate a species of
people. Yeah, but we understand. You know, me as a black man, I know, you know, someone being gay and, you know, trying to, you know, make it better for their kids or for their friends who are gay. It's not the same thing as someone who went through slavery and is like, man, I want reparations. It's not the same thing. It's not. But I understand it,
yeah. And
I understand the fight, and I understand the struggle, because we went through something similar.
Right. We get hated on just because.
And we still do.
Yeah. And
so it ain't like racism just died. It's still there. So it's the same thing with this whole gay issue. I think it's something that's just going to be there for a long, long, long time.
Yeah. Just how they say racism is gone.
No, it's not.
You're right. We don't.
Yeah, get that out of here.
Pay attention, y'all.
Exactly.
We want to thank y'all once again for checking us out, Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. You can contact us a number of ways. You can email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com.
Hit us up.
Follow us on Twitter, @brotherslayman.
Hit us up.
You can leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Didn't I tell you to call that phone?
You can find us on Stitcher and iTunes under Black Is. We're one of the many Black Is podcasts.
That's right.
Movies like to call us the Black Is Network with Brother Malcolm.
Brother Malk.
Left today to go to the UK for Coach Connection in UK, y'all.
Oh, snap. We going worldwide, baby. Woo!
We jealous, Malcolm, but I know you're having a good time.
It's all gravy, dude. All gravy.
Of course, we got the Black Is Break featuring my queen, KC Layman.
Going on, sister.
Hey, man, just a lot of stuff going on. Just check out the site, www.blackisonline.com. And I just want to give a quick shout-out some fellow podcasters out there who've been giving us love. And just all the podcasters in general, man. Y'all been – we do this.
Appreciate the support, man.
We
appreciate
know how hard it is.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work, so I want to always give love to us out there. Moody from Mr. Moody's Neighborhood.
Mood.
You're always giving us love. At Liquor Is My Muse, and John from The Ink, always giving us retweets the show. Jay from Up For Discussion.
Holla, boy.
The Player Hater.
Player Haters.
Rod and Karen, the Black Guy Who Tip, Burberry Lounge. Rashani Single, Simulcast.
Say DVD, what now?
Brother Cat Regular, Where's My 40 Acres, Two Brothers, Two Mics.
Let's just keep it going.
It's a lot of y'all. The Hip Hop Digest, man, I'm loving y'all's show.
Appreciate the love. Appreciate it.
Daryl for Strata, Low Cash.
Low Kiz Ash.
Yeah, we ain't forgot, man. We trying to get on.
We ain't talking about cash money. We talking about low cash.
Black Astronauts.
Oh, man. What? Going into space?
Yep. Downtown Black and Brown always showing us some love. Big up to y'all.
I like that name.
I mean, it's just too many names. Oh, This Week in Blackness. I enjoy that show.
Oh, what? Let's keep it going.
Yeah, it's just, it's so
many. It's too many of y'all.
Yeah, so I'm
for the ones we missed. Y'all get love, too. Don't even worry about it.
Hey, I just want to say, go out and support. If you enjoy a podcast, please listen to ours. Please listen to others. Just go out there and support y'all.
Right. And from Christopher and Jonathan, this is the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla.